San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, December 8, 2019. Today's lesson is Love, Revealing the Gift, with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Core. Good morning, and welcome to the second Sunday of Advent here at the San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. Let us anchor ourselves in this ancient wisdom of knowing there is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence that flows through all creation. And I call this God, the living spirit almighty, one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live, move, and have our being. This truth anchors me and all of us as we begin this morning's lesson. So this is the second Sunday of December in our calendar year 2019, and it's a time for us to reflect on the previous 11 months and to reveal the true meaning of this wonderful time of year. This month, we have the opportunity to celebrate the season of love and light, of giving and receiving, and to reveal the joyous anticipation and wonder of the holy days that are upon us. So today is the second Sunday of Advent. We talked about Advent last week, but here's a little refresher. In the Christian tradition, the word Advent means to arrive or to have something come into being. It's a time of preparation and anticipation of the birth of Jesus, the coming of Christ into the world. Advent is a time to prepare our homes, our minds, and our hearts for this joyous celebration of Christmas. It's symbolized by lighting a candle on each of the four Sundays before Christmas. That's the Advent season, that four-week period. Sometimes it starts in November this month, because December started on a Sunday. It's all in December. This is our Advent wreath, and the four candles represent hope, love, joy, and peace. Last week, I lit the first purple Advent candle of hope, which represents the quiet expectancy of the birth of the Christ child. This morning, I will light the second candle of Advent, which is pink, representing the spiritual journey of love. Pink is the universal color of love. Pink radiates the feeling of caring, tenderness, self-worth, and self-acceptance. I open my heart to the all-powerful love of God. The love of God is a powerful force for good. Divine love mends differences, creates joy, and opens hearts and lives to unlimited blessings. Love is the foundation of all unity. Where love is, there can be no differences, separation, or inharmony. Divine love allows us to hold to the truth that only good is at work and that only good prevails. Love is the fulfilling of the law, the assurance that there is something greater to experience, something more to enjoy. Love is magnetic. It draws to itself every good thing. I am developing a love consciousness. I feel divine love at work within me now, causing me to see myself and others in the right light, the light of love. From the Unity Daily Word. And from Romans chapter 13, verse 10, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. The fulfilling of the law. Now, this morning, there are some other traditions that we can celebrate. And one of them, I love this, it's December 8th. It's the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. The Catholics deem this the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. It's to honor the becoming pregnant of Mary, the mother of Jesus. When Jesus was conceived within her body, miraculously without man, only with God. What I find entertaining, and not to be disrespectful of anything, but, you know, it's December 8th, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, and on December 25th, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean that she had the baby, she conceived and had the baby in less than a month. What it means is, as Catholicism spread throughout the world, in order to become harmonious with the people. You go into a people who've never heard of Catholicism, they've got their own rituals and rites and times of year, like solstice and the equinoxes and the fertility rites and all these different things. And the Catholics, being the wise people that they were at the time, co-opted those events and gave them Christian meaning. So the birth of Jesus didn't occur on December 25th. It did occur during the lambing season. So Catholics still celebrate the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, but it's with the sacred knowingness, the sacred unification of the concept of the birth of Jesus. So the Immaculate Conception, and shortly thereafter, the birth of Jesus. It ties in emotionally, and that's what's important. Now, there's something else that occurs on December 8th, and that is Bodhi Day. And I like that because this is our month of revelation. So Bodhi Day is the day that Siddhartha sat underneath the Bodhi tree to stay there until he became enlightened. Well, he became enlightened. The truth was revealed to him. In this month with our theme of revelation, it is entirely appropriate. We've got the revelations for Siddhartha, who became the Buddha. We've got the revelation for the Immaculate Conception. Mary, you're going to have a child and it's going to be God. And the birth, the revealing of this new life. So it all ties in with revelation. And I like that. And then there's also the secular, it has become secular, St. Nicholas, St. Nick, Santa Claus, giving gifts. And so at this time of year, we wrap up gifts in paper. And on Christmas, we rip that paper right off the gifts and reveal what is inside. One of the fun things we used to do for our children is have a big box. And the kids became wary of big boxes because that meant that whatever was in the big box, it probably wasn't a big gift. It was a series of boxes. And so they open the one box and there's another box. And they open that box and there's another box. Now, I learned that you can only do that about 3 times with little kids or they start to fuss. As they get older, they see the box inside and they go, how many? And of course, you always put something in one of those boxes that will shake, or like bells in it that will make a sound, so that they know that there is something in there. But also, as they get older, they realize it has nothing to do with the sound. However, we did put a $100 bill in one year, and that appeased them. So the next year, they were more excited about tearing into all the boxes. As I mentioned earlier, December is a time for us to reveal the true meaning of this most wonderful time of the year, the Christmas and holiday season. So the word revelation, our theme is revelation, and the word is closely related to reveal. When you have a revelation, something is revealed to you. You have a sudden insight or understanding of something you didn't previously know or consider. A revelation may also bring a new perspective on something in your life that was once an old thought or a false belief. Old thought or a false belief. And there are many of those. We are raised in this secular world to see things, to be indoctrinated into the cultures where we live. And so in the United States of America, we have one overarching culture. And then because we are a melting pot, we have remnants of cultures from other nations celebrated within our own culture. And sometimes we have the ancestry with other countries, but we don't realize that these things that we're celebrating are from our home country or our ancestors' home country. Did you know that the Christmas tree is a German tradition? And it was not, all these years, it was not going on in England and France and even the United States. It was brought to England by their German relatives when one of the Germans got on the throne. So we have all these different traditions. And the lights, the putting the lights out, that was more of a solstice tradition from pagans and those people who were more agrarian, that celebrated the equinoxes and the solstice as nature moving around. And they had the lighting and the bonfires at the winter solstice to bring light, to remind people that the earth had not died, that there was light coming deep in those darkest nights. In Christianity, Revelation is the last book in the collection of documents that constitute the New Testament of the Holy Bible. And so this morning we're going to take a look at a science of mind approach to the meaning of Revelation. It's an uncovering, an unearthing, an unveiling of something that may not be readily apparent. It's an act of revealing or communicating the divine truth of the mystery of life itself. So let's take a closer look at the concept of revelation. As I mentioned last week, Dr. Ernest Holmes, founder of the religious science movement and author of the Science of Mind textbook, says, "The science of mind is not a special revelation of any individual. It is rather the culmination of all revelations." And in the glossary, Dr. Holmes says, revelation is becoming consciously aware of hidden things. Becoming consciously aware of hidden things. It's not like an Easter egg hunt. No, it's an internal spiritual journey. He says, since the mind that man uses is the same mind that God uses, the one and only mind, or infinite intelligence, the avenues of revelation can never be closed. That means that you and I, every one of us, have 24/7 access to the divine wisdom and divine revelation. I like that. So we get 24/7 access. It's better than the Family Fitness Center. Yet, divine wisdom and divine revelation are only available when we become consciously aware of the one power and one presence from which all things come. Think about that for a moment. When we become consciously aware of the one power and the one presence. And what a gift it is to know that truth. What a gift to know that the Creator of all things loves this creation so much that the avenues of revelation shall never be closed. It is always open. Always open. And that ties in with our talk today, which is revealing the gift. The divine gift of love is constantly being revealed, especially at this time of the year. As we celebrate Advent and Hanukkah that starts up later in the month. And this morning's lesson is about the universal spiritual gift of love. Love. You know, the Beatles had a song, All You Need Is Love. And during this morning's meditation, I was thinking, all you need is love. And as soon as I thought that, I thought, need. No, we don't need it. We have it. We are it. So the next time you hear that song, I'd like to invite you to think of it as, all I am is love. Dun da 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 da. All I am is love. Dun da 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 da. All I am is love. Love. Love is all I am. Love is all I am. And what a change. What a shift in the energy. Say, I need love. I'm lacking something. I have not enough love. Give me love. Please, please, please. No. All I am is love. And therefore, I am overflowing and pouring and filling out into the world, sharing this gift of love. And seeing everyone as all they are is love. All they are is love. The pure and sacred essence of love is experienced when you give yourself permission to love and to be loved unconditionally. And this is a time of year when we give ourselves permission to be embraced and loved by our divine creator, by the one power, the one presence that makes all things possible. Love is a state of being. It is who and what you are. So there are a few things I'd like you to remember. The first is, your very existence is love in action. You are a divine instrument of love. You good with that? Okay. So I have an important question to ask you this morning. Are you ready to fully reveal the divine gift of love? Yes or yes? Yes, of course. Are you willing to accept this divine gift of love? Yes. Okay, because remember, there can be no gift without a receiver. You are the gift and you are receiving the gift. So that's really cool. You're giving, you're receiving, and you are it. What does that sound like? Sounds like God. Sounds like the infinite spirit. So please place your hand on your heart and affirm with me. Today I reveal the ultimate gift.
Today I reveal the ultimate gift.
I am a divine instrument of love.
I am a divine instrument of love.
Today I give myself permission.
Today I give myself permission.
To accept this gift.
To accept this gift.
To love and be loved. Unconditionally.
Unconditionally.
And so it is.
So it is.
Whew, that's a powerful one. Take a nice deep breath and let it out. For some people, self-love, self-respect, and self-worth can be a challenging gift to accept. That's why it's important to realize that the gift of love is given to you unconditionally. You don't have to earn it or strive for it. Love is your divine inheritance from our Creator. It's been said that the gift of love represents the greatest power in the universe. And it's available to everyone, and it flows through everything at all times. And some say that love is the radiating force of the universe that allows the planets to orbit the solar system, for flowers to turn to the sunlight to produce chlorophyll, that love inspires the songbirds to sing their praises at dawn, and that love is the energy within you that beats your heart and allows you to live and move and have your being in this thing called life. Well, they're all right. All of them are right, because love is the power of the universe. It is all powerful. It is what created the law, what created everything. It is always pouring forth into our lives, bringing people and places and things through our experiences and bringing us into the experiences of others, that we may be the example of divine love, of unconditional love. And when we love unconditionally, it doesn't mean that we have to approve of activities of others, but it means that we love them no matter who they are or what they are doing. There's a bumper sticker that says, "Everything is God disguised as something else." And so anytime we start to go into judgment about some person, place, or thing, it's a good idea to remember Halloween and masquerades, and there's a mask on that person so that they are giving the appearance of being a total jerk. But within and behind that mask, there is that same divine love, that same spiritual essence that I am, that you are, that everyone is. Sometimes it is challenging to see, and that's why we remember to remember who and what we are. All I am is love. Dun, da, 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 da. It's the gift of love, of unconditional love, that gives you the inspiration to live another day, regardless of any appearance, condition, or situation that you may find yourself in. And that nothing, no thing, can exist without the presence of love in it. Many of the great spiritual writings affirm that God is love, and that love and God are one in the same. And the mystics, the sages, and the spiritual wise ones throughout history agree that love is the one common thread that binds all humanity and all of life into one cosmic wholeness. It's been said that love is a state of being. It is who and what you are. Reverend Dr. Michael Bernard Beckwith, the founder and minister and spiritual leader of Agape up in LA, wrote a book called Spiritual Liberation. And in it, he says, love is not an emotion or even a romantic notion. It is a living, organically powerful energy that holds together the fabric of the created world. Love is what we are. All I am is love. Da 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 da. And Charles Fillmore, the founder of the Unity Movement, says that love is the power that joins in divine harmony in the universe and everything in it. In other words, love has no beginning and has no end. Just like in our teaching symbol, we have the circle that is endless, that is boundless. Love is the Alpha and the Omega of life itself. Your very existence is love in action. And the fact that you are here this morning means that your divinity has been revealed to you. And that's a testimony to the gift of unconditional love that's bestowed upon us by our Creator, the Living Spirit Almighty. Your very existence is a blessing and a gift to the universe. It's up to each one of us to not only rejoice in the revelation of this gift of love, we must accept it and share it. A couple of weeks ago, I mentioned the things that we put on altars. I think it was the last Sunday of November, Limitless Dividends. And I mentioned that people put a bowl, an empty bowl, on their personal altars to represent open to receive. That here's this bowl that will receive all the good. Now, just because it's a small bowl doesn't mean you only get a small good, because it is symbolic. It's symbolic of being open to receive all good. And these are our bowls of acceptance. So we need to hold our bowls of acceptance high and receive all the gifts and blessings that are poured upon us. Just think of the icon from the lesson, Prove Me Now, with all the floods coming out the windows of heaven pouring onto us. In the Science of Mind textbook, we're reminded of the eternal givingness that is the true nature of God. And we must have the spiritual faith and conviction to accept the gifts. In his chapter on mental equivalence, on page 280, Ernest Holmes says, prayer does something to the mind of the one praying. It does not do anything to God. The eternal gift is always made. The gift of God is the nature of God, the eternal givingness. God cannot help making the gift because God is the gift. We do not have to pray to God to be God. God is God. Jesus revealed the nature of the divine being by his personal embodiment of the divine nature. He said, quote, as ye believe, it shall be done unto you, end quote. And Lowell said, the gift without the giver is bare. And it is just as true that there can be no gift without a receiver. It is said, to as many as received him, to them he gave the power. We seek to uncover the science of prayer, the essence of spirit embodied in it. We find that the essence of the power of prayer is faith and acceptance. He also says on pages 404 and 405, fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. There is nothing wrong in the desire for self-expression. God is more completely expressed through the man who lives largely than the one who lives meagerly. He says, we should contact a larger field of faith. This is done by understanding that God is the giver and the sustainer of human life and expression. God is all there is. He is substance and supply. We must learn to accept this. If it is God's pleasure to give us the kingdom, then it should be our pleasure to accept the gift. He also says, all things are given unto us, but we shall have to do the taking. Here we are revealing. It's all here. Receive it, accept it, take it. God gives in the abstract, we receive in the concrete. The gift of heaven is forever made. The receiving of this gift is an eternal process of forever expanding the infinite. And finally, he says, love alone can overcome fear because love surrenders itself to the object of its adoration. Love alone can overcome fear. And what are the fears? The fears of lack, the fears of limitation, the fears of not enough. The fears of being unlovable. Well, you cannot be unlovable because all you are is love. Da, 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 da. So let us remember to reveal and accept the gifts of hope, love, joy, and peace. Let us hold up a chalice of acceptance high and rejoice in the blessings that we share. Consider that your top of your head is open to receive infinite love, and it is all that flows into you is infinite love, and it fills your entire body. And as it fills your body, every cell, every part of you, our skin has pores. Allow it to radiate out through all of your pores, through your mouth, through your breath, this infinite, unconditional love just moving through and as you with your every breath. And you are the blessing to the universe. We are blessed by your presence as we are all blessed by the divine. So next week, we will be continuing our theme for December, Revelation, and it will be about joy, entitled Bells Are Ringing. So thank you for your time and attention this morning. Namaste.